With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
World Transformed. This program is your guide to an astounding future that lies ahead, one that will be here sooner than you think, and one that you have an important role to play in bringing about. At the World Transformed, we want to introduce you to what may be the greatest transformation of them all, the one that begins with considering and acting on the almost limitless possibilities that lie before us, and that ends somewhere beyond the reach of the human imagination. So, when does this amazing future begin? Well, today is the day. My name is Phil Bauermaster, and with me in the virtual studio is my co-blogger, co-futurist and co-host, Stephen Gordon. Hello, Stephen.
Hey, Phil. How are you?
Well, I'm super fantastic. How are you, my friend?
Man, I'm doing great.
You know, we're...
Started another great week here.
Yeah, kind of through a summer hiatus, but I think we might be back on track. I think we might get three shows in this week. And certainly we've got the topics lined up to support it. You know, as we were putting our plans together for this week, it seemed like the news cycle just kept throwing life extension stories at us to the point that I said, well, you know what we're going to have to do? We're going to have to do a couple of shows on this. And so I've got this notion of the immortality paradox that we're going to roll out over tonight and Wednesday night, and we'll see where it takes us. Obviously, that's a subject that lends itself to being amazed anyway, but we're going to save the really amazing stuff for Wednesday. But here's the paradox. Are you ready? We're going to talk about the really wacky stuff tonight. Okay. So
well, tonight may be the fun show, and then Wednesday, awesome Wednesday, right? Would be here's the stuff that we can actually bet on, bringing us some good stuff. But at any rate, hey, who knows?
Which is fun.
If one wacky thing pays off, you know, one wacky thing could pay off, and you know, hey. We have life extension. I guess we should probably explain to our audience what we mean when we say life extension.
We're going to get into it in just a minute. I'll tell you what, I wanted to do one thing before we dive in, and that is because we didn't mention it on the 4th of July show last week, is just a quick shout-out to NASA and the Juno spacecraft. Hey, Juno has arrived at Jupiter, and that's pretty exciting. I don't know how closely you've been tracking this story, Steve, but we're going to have a lot to say about Juno in the weeks and months to come.
Juno parked in orbit in around Jupiter, right? I mean, it's Jupiter's got a new moon, and courtesy us, is that correct?
That is exactly right. The most ambitious, obviously most ambitious exploration of the planet Jupiter ever, the first major one in years, and you know, when you say parked in orbit, I don't know if you've read too much up on what the mission is like, but have you seen that orbit that Juno is in around Jupiter? It's fascinating.
Well, it kind of had to be a long elliptical orbit, right? Because, I mean, it's coming from Earth, so you couldn't just park it in a unless you had, took along a lot of rocket fuel, you could not have put it in a circular orbit very easily, right?
So, well, that's an interesting question. I really don't know the dynamics of that. That you're probably onto something there, but the great thing about that elliptical orbit is they're going to get in close over and over again, get in close to Jupiter, and then swing out wide over and over again. So we've got this.
I've got this picture of a photographer, zooming in, running up close to the model, and then running back out again, getting pictures. I guess that's what we're going to do here. With
Juno. Great, great, so. Yeah, a great view of the planet, great telemetry and information and sensor readings on the planet. And then back out again where the moons are, where the rings are, where the radiation is, you know. So, I mean, it allows for a very thorough exploration of the planet. It's going to be very exciting. Looking forward to hearing great things from Juno, and we will of course do an entire show about Juno as soon as they discover life or whatever it is that the big thing.
You know, whatever great things they discover, and there's going to be a bunch of stuff. You know that what we've managed in the past have been flybys, more or less. Is that correct, Phil?
Well, yeah, pretty much. Yeah, certainly not this. Let's spend months at Jupiter. You know, I don't think we've ever had that before. This is a new thing, it's going to be really exciting. But speaking of exciting, hey, how about this story, How to Become Immortal by the People Who Think You Can? And I found this on Yahoo, and I'm letting this frame a lot of our discussion. So just to explain the links to people who are looking at the show notes this evening, what's going on here is I've got this story, How to Become Immortal by the People Who Think You Can, and the topics in it were so interesting, but they weren't cited, that I went and looked up the various things that these folks were talking about, and then I have separate references to each of their topics. So I don't know how else to explain this, Stephen, except to say I actually did a little research for the show this week. I don't know if that's...
What is this word of which you speak, Phil?
Yeah, I know.
Research.
It's bizarre. but I liked it because it was a fun take. Obviously, this Rob Waugh, his Yahoo blog, obviously he's very interested in this topic, and he pulled together some fun takes on becoming immortal. You know, immortal, his word, obviously, and I'm using that in our title, Immortality Paradox. We don't usually talk about immortality outside of the...
Yeah, that's why we should define our terms, I think. When we say immortal, for purposes of this, we're not saying you won't be able to die. You know, a bus will take you out in 40 years just like it would take you out today. And what we're talking, you know, we're talking about is old age being a chronic condition that can be treated is what we're talking about, right, Phil?
Well, you know what? You're jumping ahead, I think, to Wednesday's show.
Too bad.
No, that's always good. That's kind of the serious, well thought out definition of life extension. But hey, maybe there's other ways to make people live longer. Let's use immortality to mean people living longer than they're quote unquote supposed to. Okay, if possible, indefinitely. But if you look at some of the ideas that Rob Waugh gets into here, these are a little bit out there. Well, let's start with this one: the Center for Immortality being built in Texas. Now, this has to do with cryonics, so it's not as out there an idea for living longer, for living quote unquote forever as others. I mean, that's an idea that's been around for a long time, and we know lots of people who take the idea very seriously. We know people who are active participants in organizations that are pursuing that idea, people who intend to undergo cryonic suspension when they die. So that one is not, I guess, of all the crazy ideas, it's the most established, credible. I don't know. Where would you put cryonics on the crazy scale, Stephen?
Well, here's the reason it's not as crazy as you might think, or the typical person might think. It's we don't have the technological capability of bringing somebody back now, but all we're saying, all the people that are believing this and are trying it are saying, is that we can't say that it won't be possible in the future, right? So what they're doing is trying to suspend the degeneration of their body after they've died, and so that perhaps someday you get some nanotechnology or something that could repair the damage and then kickstart them back to life. And in the day and age when we bring people back all the time, that have been clinically dead for several minutes, and then under some circumstances, a lot, you know, 30, 40, 50 minutes, something like that. But, you can imagine that perhaps the day will come, and 20 years, 30 years, whatever, that some of these people could be brought back. So, I don't find it that crazy, actually. It's expensive.
And I think that's part of the reason
we don't all do it. You know, it's an expensive way to take care of someone's body after they've died, you know.
I guess in describing it as crazy or wacky, I'm really using the wrong terminology, and I'm going to back out of that terminology and describe it differently.
Right.
You know what we're really talking about pretty much on this show versus what we'll be looking at on Wednesday is these kind of interventions around mortality versus a progressive treatment for mortality. Okay, I think that might be the real distinction. And there's no more extreme intervention around mortality than cryonics, because essentially, at that point, you're talking about resurrecting dead people. Right. I mean, that's what cryonics is.
I'm always reminded, Phil, of Woody Allen when he was asked, "Would you like to achieve immortality through your work?" And he says, "Actually, I'd like to achieve immortality by not dying."
Yeah, through not dying, that would be the.
Yeah, and that, the so Wednesday is our Woody Allen immortality show. I guess.
That's right.
Yeah, because strictly speaking, I mean, anyone who uses cryonics in the hopes of being brought back at some point, they have died. I mean, that's by all reasonable definitions, they are gone.
They are gone.
And
the story we link here, this Center for Immortality, the Fort Knox of biological materials, the complex that they're building in Texas that they expect to someday, it says, house 50,000 frozen humans waiting to be brought back from the dead. Now, I'll tell you, if there are 50,000 people in the U.S. signed up for cryonics, that is a lot more people than I would have realized. That is an impressive number. But it could be that, you know, that's based on some market projections, and they expect to get there in the near future. But that goes to show you that the fact that they could be talking about something of that scope and that scale tells you that people do take the idea seriously. They're increasingly taking the idea seriously, and it's a serious idea. I mean, it could work potentially. You need some pretty advanced technology, as you were saying, Stephen, to actually dial this in. But
modern cryonics is a lot different from what people often think. It's you're not just deep freezing somebody. Freezing causes crystallization of particularly the neurons in the brain, and that's not what they're trying to do. What they do instead of freezing, it's almost a plasticization. I'm using a word I may be inventing, but it's to preserve the exact pattern of the neurons in the brain. That's the main thing they want to preserve.
Right. The problem with a traditional freeze is that all those crystals are just, they just shatter those neural connections. I mean, it pretty much obliterates the brain. If you think of it as that set of complex structures, is just gone, right, when you freeze it. And exactly right. The idea here is to get it cold, to get it in stasis, and to preserve it in as close to the state that it was in when the person died as you can possibly get it, because that's your working back from point, right?
Right.
Theoretically.
And so at some point, and it may require destructive scanning, but bringing these people back, you know, you might end up having to do a destructive scan of that brain to get the data of how those neurons were connected, right? And then bring them back in some digital form at first, and then eventually perhaps in a physical form. But the thinking on this is it's a lot different from, well, we're just going to deep freeze grandma and then, you know, thaw her out in a few years. That's not what we're talking about, and not what modern cryonics is talking about anymore.
That's right. That's right. And one of the big differences, of course, is a lot of times they just do the head. You know, they don't freeze the whole body, because the thinking is, well
if I were gonna do this, Phil, I wouldn't pay for the whole body. You know, it's very, very expensive for the body, and that's really useless. My thought is, just get the, you know, what you want to preserve is the pattern of my brain, right? If I was going to do this. So.
And just to explain, the thinking there is not that Stephen will be some kind of Futurama-esque head in a jar later when revived, but that if we have technology to bring a brain back, we have technology to reconstruct a body, that we wouldn't need the old broken-down human body.
The head would contain the DNA to bring the body back as well. So, you know, there's no point in preserving the entire body. So
what we would give is a young, vital, Ryan Reynolds-esque 24-year-old Steve.
Yeah, that's right. Me with a six-pack. That's what we want.
Yeah. I'm on board. I think that's definitely the way to go. But speaking of that, if you're just saving heads, then here's another potential approach to quote-unquote immortality. Let's keep moving. We got several of these to talk about here. Russian man says he wants to become first person to undergo full head transplant. Now, this is not technically a life extension idea, but it plays into what we were just talking about, right? The thing is, a lot of times the body breaks down, the brain is still going, a person still has a functional brain, but the body's not there anymore. Well, when I saw this story, I figured, well, this has to be one of those crazy Pravda stories that somebody picked up, right? As soon as you see
Russian,
it's like that blog, that Twitter feed, Florida Man. Right. As soon as you see the phrase "Florida man" in a news headline, you know that you're going to see some crazy thing. Right. Somebody has, done something very unusual.
Yeah.
I see Russian man. I think, oh, okay. Well, this is baloney. Right. This is completely made up. But the story was actually in the New York Daily News. So if New York Daily News is not vetting stories from Pravda, are we responsible for that, Stephen? Is this our fault if we're? Kind of...
I think we've just we've given our. Look it up. We're going to tell our audience if you have your doubts about this one, look it up. But we're getting it from a reputable news source here.
Yeah, we got it from a reputable news source, and if they're wrong, it does sound kind of crazy.
Bad.
But here's the story: Russian man has announced he aims to be the first person to undergo a full head transplant. And it's a very sad story. The guy has a degenerative wasting muscular disease, and there's this doctor who says he can do it. Says he's done it with monkeys. He can pop a head onto a non-original body and make the whole thing work. He says he can do it in less than a day. Now, there's all kinds of problems with this as an intervention, even for this poor individual. I mean, you feel for the guy, and you feel for everybody who's in that kind of a position. It's like my body's wasting away. My mind is still okay. I want to be able to move around. I want to be able to, live a full life. Obviously, the big problem here is, where do you get the body, right? I mean, somebody has to lose their head in order for this guy's head to go on somebody else's body. Presumably, what you're then doing is you're waiting for a terrible traumatic accident where someone has left their body maybe where brain death has occurred, body's okay, the head can be removed. I mean, ethically, I don't know how this could ever happen, right? It certainly couldn't happen in the U.S. that I can think of, but they are talking about doing it in Russia. But let's say you find the body, and this guy is actually willing to do it. He's had enough of degeneration that he would really give it a try, attaching his head to this other body. Stephen, do you think there's any chance this could work?
I think there's a good bit of chance that he could live for a few days.
Yeah.
That's what I think. You know, I would suspect, Phil, that this man doesn't have expectation of a long life at all. And I think at this point, he wants to do something interesting with his life before he dies.
Right.
And I might be wrong. Maybe his doctor's a charlatan who's filled his head with hopes that he's going to be dancing around and having a completely long, normal life in his new body. But that, you know, that almost is certainly not going to happen. This is an experimental thing that if the surgery is a complete success, he actually has a few moments of consciousness attached to this new body before he dies. I mean, it's extremely. I mean, think of all the things that have to go right. You have the human mind is connected to the body by such a network of nerves that, you know, I mean, it's insane that all the things that have to be connected right for us to be able to use our bodies, right? And even to maintain life. These things, I have seen some pretty disturbing images of, you know, dog heads attached to other dogs and things like that. That it appears that the dog is still alive for a short period of time. But we're talking hours, maybe days at the most. But I hope that this man's not being taken advantage of or being filled with hope of something that's not going to happen. Maybe he just wants to do something interesting with his life, and maybe hoping that it helps. It moves along medical science. So maybe that's what's happening. I hope so.
Certainly, hats off to him for the courage in volunteering to do something like this. The way the procedure works is obviously, you know, there's this cut over on blood vessels. They're going to try to fuse the head to the new spinal cord, and the patient would be in an induced coma for several weeks while they let everything sort of knit together. Then theoretically, you wake him up if it's even possible. If he's even alive, if you can wake him up, and then you see what happens. Yeah, I have a feeling that even if they got to that point, you might very well still end up with a body below your neck that doesn't work. Right? That would be the
I can't imagine he'd be anything but a quadriplegic in a new body. Putting a person's head on a new body doesn't result in being a quadriplegic, then why in the world do we still have quadriplegics in this world? You know what I'm saying?
Well, again,
your head to work with your old body. You know, how is it that we could take a head and put it on a new body and it work? So I can't imagine that he'd be anything but a quadriplegic, right?
Well, that's true, but. If the head and the body aren't damaged in a way that a quadriplegic is, then there is a route to having a working body there, theoretically. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying I think it's going to work. I'm saying this is an extreme intervention.
No doubt.
But let's say it works a little. Then it raises the issue of, well, what would work better? Right? What would work better? Maybe a robot body would work better.
You know, my hope for something like this is that they learn a lot, and this guy is going into it with completely informed consent. You know, that is my hope here. So,
absolutely. And if we look at kind of the progression here, it's like, okay, well, we've gone from, you know, just freezing the brain to keeping the head alive. And potentially swapping it out there, then leads us to Humai. I guess it's pronounced Humai. Human AI is what I take the name of this company to be. Wants to resurrect humans within 30 years. And here's a different take on how this can work. Although I'm not 100% sure that these folks aren't also kind of counting on cryonics. But it's interesting in the How to Become Immortal. Our author describes what these folks do as putting a brain onto a cloned body. And I really don't see that as what they're doing at all. This reads to me a lot more like they're actually building out a robot body to put the brain into. He says we live on in cloned bodies. But if you read what Humai, I'm going to pronounce it, and I'm sorry if I'm getting the name of their company wrong, describes doing, it feels to me like what they're doing is they're really building a robot body to carry on a human life in. Now, to me, here's what would make this an interesting proposition. Okay, for one thing, the hard part here is making a machine that could do a human brain justice, right? It took a billion years of evolution for us to develop one that does the human brain justice, that could actually, I don't know, leverage all the capability of the brain, right? Because our brains are taking in all this sensory input. They're managing our consciousness, if not providing a discussion for another day. They're providing all our motor stuff. They're providing all the intellectual stuff that we do. Even an artificial external environment that could keep a brain alive, even to just keep it functioning, would be a pretty astounding accomplishment. But
think of it. I mean, nature built the human body and the human brain together.
Right.
So what you're talking about is having one function without the other. And you talk about the hard problems in science, right? That's a tough one, I would guess. I can imagine how useful something like this would be, Phil. You recently linked to something on Facebook talking about how humans will never, ever, ever in a billion, trillion years be able to travel interstellar distances to other stars.
Quadrillion years will never happen.
That's right. It'll never, ever, ever happen.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, well, gosh, this guy's a pessimist, but I read into the story, and the point he was making was a good one. It's that the human body is just not built for space travel like that. We're just not. We're built for living right here on this planet. That's what we're made to do.
That guy was just abusing the word human, if you ask me.
That's right. And so he was saying, yeah, we need to be something other than human to make those trips. And I would, provided I accept his terminology, I completely agree. I think that in order to travel, do serious space travel, we're going to have to be something other than human. And maybe something like this is what we're is one option for what we're talking about, right?
Well,
the
in
other
fact,
option
this one,
is the,
this
is
one
the
really
civilization
does kind of close,
in the Coke can.
Yeah. This one really does kind of close the loop on our topics for tonight, because they are talking about taking cryonically frozen brains, cryonically preserved brains, and plugging them into these devices. So this is kind of this is an interesting next step for cryonics. It's like, well, why put you back in a biological body and just run into all the danger of it breaking down? Theoretically, by then, we've got biological bodies that can last forever. But even then, hit by a bus or whatever, there's a lot of problematic things if you want to be, quote-unquote, immortal about living in the kind of body we have. It's a volatile thing. It's a fragile thing, a human body in some instances. I mean, it's actually a very tough, durable thing if you look at the kind of time span it was designed for. But if you want to go centuries, it's a little bit problematic. So, hey, forget that. We'll build a new body. We'll use nanotechnology. We'll use artificial intelligence. We'll build a completely new kind of body and pop that brain into there, or rebuild the brain in there. And I think of the three ideas, or kind of as the culmination of the other two ideas, this one definitely puts you on the best track for quote-unquote immortality, right? This one definitely gets you into you can go on and on and on.
Indefinitely until some star goes supernova in your region, you're good, I guess. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, there could be a kernel of you that gets backed up on the system, and it's just like one of those government laptops that can really take a beating, right? Your body could your robot body could be there to protect that shell of who you are from even the most extreme of conditions. So that part is good. In terms of creating indefinite life. But of all of the ones we've talked about, this one is the trickiest and the farthest out, right? Because look at all the things you have to look at all the problems you have to solve. First off, the cryonics thing has to work. So that that vitrified brain actually then needs to be able to bring back the information. And that
vitrified, that is the word I was looking for earlier in the show, vitrified.
Yeah.
Instead of frozen, we mean vitrified. Okay.
We do mean.
Look it up if you're curious, audience. So.
Yes. Check out the what are they called, the something brain project. I'll put a link in the show notes. That's got to work. We've got to build a robot that's capable of replicating what a human body does, and we've got to put the two together. So this one is probably the most complex Rube Goldberg intervention of them all. It puts you in a pretty good place if it works, but I don't know. You know, they're talking about we believe we can resurrect the first human within 30 years. Back on the on the first story, they were talking about maybe in a couple centuries, cryonics will be able to bring a human body back. These are everything we've talked about on the show tonight, Stephen. I maintain are difficult, extreme interventions with very long time frames associated with them. And on Wednesday's show, we're gonna pick this subject back up, and we're gonna talk about the non-intervention approaches to life extension, which I think are, potentially a little bit more positive and hopeful in terms of how soon we're going to be there.
I look forward to it.
Well, we will pick that up then on Wednesday. Stephen, it's great talking with you about these subjects. Thank you all for being with us. And until next time, live to see it.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.